Amen. Well, it's great to be here. I used to do youth ministry some years ago, and what I enjoy about these opportunities to switch pulpits and, you know, go visit other locations that I see people that we used to do youth ministry with, and I know Jason and Mackenzie helped with the retreat, and see a bunch of familiar faces all across our New Life family, and it's just so cool to see that. And I think that this time where we go visit other campuses and go preach to other extended New Life family, I think it reminds us that we're part of a bigger family than just our family here or just our family at Hobart. So let's remember that. Let's keep praying for our extended New Life family. And today I come to you from Hobart, Indiana, which, as has been mentioned, that's where Pastor Ray is at. And so we literally did a full swap. But so I had an hour drive here, and he probably had an hour drive there. So it was kind of cool. But been serving as a location pastor at Hobart for going on almost 4 years now. 4 years actually this month, later this month. So it's been a journey. It's been awesome to see what God has been doing. And in that process, been able to get to know Pastor Ray pretty, you know, as much as time allows and stuff. You know, we're a little bit far away on the New Life Network, but I love seeing his heart for the Lord and his heart to serve you all and his heart to be the shepherd of this church. So, you know, when you see him again, I just want to challenge you. Tell him thank you. Amen? Can we do that? Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Well, hey, let's start with a word of prayer, and we will jump right into this, what we have this morning. I think it's going to be a good time in God's Word. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's do it. So, Father God, we are so grateful to be here this morning. We thank you for another day of breath in our lungs, Father, waking us up this morning, some of us earlier than others. But, God, we just thank you for your presence. And, Lord, we thank you for rescuing us from our sins. We thank you for all the ways in which you constantly are there present in our lives, Lord, and you make all things great, and God, you work all things for good, Lord, is what your word teaches us. So, Father, we want to thank you also for your word, and God, as we open it for the next few moments, Lord, we pray that you would help us to have an open heart to receive your word, open ears to hear your word, and open eyes to see exactly how you would have us apply these truths to our lives this morning. Father, I ask that you guard us from distractions, that you help us to stay focused on what you have for us this morning. And God, we pray that you would bless this time. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. All right. So today I'm bringing you a message that, if I'm quite honest, I've had to preach to myself over and over and over again. Although I've never taken the time to actually write it down. So this was a good thing for me. I actually took some time this week to write this down. But I kind of call this passage that we're going to be in my life verse, and I think it's always important to have a life verse that we constantly go back to, remind ourselves of. So I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit from that passage this morning, but I've titled today's message, Refusing to Quit. Someone say, Refusing to Quit.
Refusing to quit.
All right, we're going to dig into that. What do I mean by that? And there's a specific reason why I chose the language that I did. We'll get to that towards the end of this message. But we're going to be using Galatians 6, 7 through 9 as a foundation today. So if you want to go ahead and turn there in your Bibles or Bible app or whatever, I encourage you to do that. But if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. It's kind of a main point I want to stress this morning, and I hope that you take home and remember, post on your refrigerator, post on wherever you need to see it often. Here it is. Write it down. If we quit, someone say, if we quit.
If we quit.
If we quit, we will miss the blessings that God has in store for us. Amen?
Amen.
You know, we're in this season of Seek Week, and I call this Seek Week extended because we decided, you know what, let's go 21 days this year, right? Not just a week. And sometimes, if we're honest, you know, even when, like, one thing we're doing at Hobart is we're doing nightly prayer at 7 p.m. every single day, 21 days, 3 days in the month. And if we feel led, we'll extend it even further. We're just going to see how far this goes. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I've learned that even we need to be challenged in our prayer life to not quit. Amen. To keep pressing in. So I'm hoping this message even helps along those lines. But here's a basic fact of life. Maybe you've learned this, maybe you haven't, or maybe you're just listening in and you know you need to hear this for the first time. But it's no news to anyone that life will have challenges. You know what I'm talking about? You know, some of us, we've experienced challenges that, you know, maybe we plan for them. You know, you know that maybe a challenging season is coming up. You know, maybe your kids are entering the college years and you're about to go drop them off somewhere and hope they're okay. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you're thinking through next year and there's going to be some changes happening in your family or in your life. And you're able to anticipate those challenges that may come your way. That's one side of challenges. But sometimes, if we're honest and if we're really paying attention, probably more often than not, there's challenges that catch us completely by surprise. And in those moments, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I've noticed this, it's very easy if we're not intentional. Someone say intentional. If we're not intentional, to not quit. You see, some of you may be here this morning, and you've been praying for something for many, many years. Maybe you're here this morning, and you've been praying for a prodigal for 10, 20, 25, 30, 40 years. Maybe you've been going through a particularly challenging season in your marriage or your parenting or your family. Maybe you're here this morning and the enemy, for whatever reason, has been whispering in your ear to even try to get some of you to give up on whatever ministry God has called you to. The list of challenges and list of things that can be pressing upon us to try to get us to quit can be endless. Maybe you're here this morning and you just need a word of encouragement to stay in the fight. Well, I hope that this message this morning brings that to you and that by the end of today, you are maybe a little bit more renewed in your commitment to be intentional about refusing to quit. Remember, if we quit, we will miss the blessings God has for us. If we quit, we will miss, you will miss the blessings God has for you. You might be saying, where are you getting this from, Pastor Jason? Well, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, and we'll, before we go any further, we'll go ahead and read this. And I'm going to have us do what we do at Hobart. This is kind of customary, what we do at Hobart. We stand for the reading of God's word. So I'm going to have you do that. Opportunity to stretch your legs a little bit. Because, you know, I'm getting ready to start preaching to you. So let's get some energy going. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and read this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. Amen? The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. So this passage here is a letter written to the Apostle Paul to a church that, without going into super detail, just had a lot of people trying to get them off track, trying to get them to add parts to the gospel, to get them to add things to the whole Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation type of thing. Remember that? You know the gospel, good news? Everybody know that? Okay. We have this church here in Galatia that Paul is writing to that's based on some of the language he uses throughout the book, we might say that they got to be off track a little bit. And he was writing to them to say, hey, stay in the fight for Jesus Christ and do not compromise. So he takes time, if you read the book, to outline some of the gospel, what it is at its core, how it is to be lived out. And then, as is customary, he usually ends his letters with some kind of final words of encouragement. And it's what he's doing here. He's trying to get them to refuse, to quit. So what is he trying to encourage them to do? Well, today what I want to talk to you about is something that I've learned also in my life. How many of you have learned that habits matter more than aspirations or goals? You ever notice that? You know, you can have goals. You can have all these things that you're aiming for. But if the habits that you do each and every day do not match what you're aiming towards, guess what? You'll never reach those goals. I've heard somebody say it this way. You will never rise to the level of your goals. You'll fall to the level of your habits. So today, along these lines, I want to talk to you about three particular habits that I think we see Paul mention in these few verses that are meant to help us to stay in the fight and keep us in a mindset where we are refusing to quit. Just three. Can we handle three?
Yes.
You think? Maybe as you... Here's also what I do at Hobart sometimes. I never give like, okay, here's all four of what this passage says. I'm just trying to get you started. So what I want to do is even give you some homework right now. Go home after this message and meditate on this passage. And if the Lord speaks to you something else about, hey, why don't I add this in? Why don't I add that in? All in the lane of saying, I'm refusing to quit. Go ahead and do that. I'm just trying to get you started, get you moving in the right direction. Amen? Amen. So here we go. I want to give you three helpful habits that this passage encourages us to maintain in our lives so that we can stay in the fight and refuse to quit. You might want to write these down. Here we go. We refuse to quit first by blocking negativity and lies. We refuse to quit by blocking, someone say blocking, that's a strong word, blocking negativity and lies. You see, starting off this passage, if you look at verse 7, it starts off this way. Do not be deceived. Now, let's use our critical thinking skills a little bit. What does that imply? What does it imply if he says, do not be deceived? It means that if you're not careful, you will be deceived. See what he's saying there? So again, if we're not intentional about this, we will allow ourselves to be in a position where we are letting deception and things that are meant to throw us off track come into our lives. One of those... Really, deception at its core is based on negativity and lies. These things that are just not true. Remember what I was saying earlier about the whole reason Paul wrote this letter. He was writing to a church that was, we might say, getting a little bit off track. He even calls them out one time and says, who has bewitched you? I mean, that's some strong language. He's like, why are you allowing these negative people to come into your assembly and spread lies, spread all this false doctrine about Jesus Christ, and you're buying into it. First thing we need to do is learn how to block negativity and lies, because here's something I've learned in my life. Not everyone is going to be happy that you follow Jesus. You ever notice that? Not everyone is going to be on your side when it comes especially to you having to say no to them because you want to say yes to Jesus. Amen. You know what I'm saying? You see, there might be people in your life right now that are saying, why are you carving out this chunk of time on Sunday morning to go to church. I've actually had people say that to me. I've actually had people call me a fool because of that. And here's the reality. It's one thing when it's, you know, from people, you know, that don't really know you, don't really understand you, aren't in relationship with you. But I could tell you, it's a whole other battle when it's your own family. You know what Jesus said about loving him versus loving your family? You ever read some of those passages? Where he says, like, literally, like, by comparison, your love for me should be so extreme that if someone looks at it from the outside, they would say they must hate their family. Okay? Here's what I'm trying to get at. There may be people in your life that are trying to get you off track, that are trying to get us off track by sowing all kinds of negativity and lies into your life. You know, Jesus isn't good. Is he really going to come through for you? Why are you praying? Why are you doing all this? And, you know, it makes no sense. Why do you not do the things that you used to do before you became a Christian? Anybody ever have somebody say that to them before? You know, you used to be this party animal, now you're not anymore. Amen. You see, some will try to trip us up with negativity and lies. It's just a fact of life. Some will try to do this intentionally. But I've also learned that there are some who they're not intending to do it. It's just that's their nature. Some people's nature is just they're a very negative person. Now, we need to love them like Jesus, right? But what we need to do is make sure we're in the habit of blocking that negativity from our lives. King David experienced this. If you go back to, turn with me to Psalm chapter 11. So Psalm 11. King David experienced this. We're going to be throughout our Bibles this morning, so I hope you're okay with that little, you know, Bible study, right? One of my favorite Psalms is here because I love the, you know, King David is expressing what he's been experiencing. But we'll see that he's very intentional about shifting his focus off of the negativity and onto the truths about God. Let me just read the whole thing, but listen to what this says. In the Lord I take refuge. So he's claiming that right off the bat. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur on a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. What's going on here? Well, we don't know the exact context of this psalm, but based on some of the language, we could say that David was going through some stuff. I mean, talks about he calls out the wicked, and so apparently there's some negative people around him. People are trying to get him off track, all this stuff. But look at what he says in verses 1 to 3. He says, in the Lord I take refuge, how can you say to my soul, flee like a bird of your mountain? What's going on there? They're essentially mocking him. These people that are around him say, you trust in Jesus? You trust in some guy from 2,000 years ago? You know, anybody ever have somebody say that to you? King David experienced the same thing that you and I experience every day. Sometimes multiple times a day. They're essentially making fun of him for his trust in the Lord. Once again, This might be a little more bearable when it's from people that really have no relationship with you. People at work or whatever. That's a whole other battle when it's your own family. Right? Let's just be honest about it. But here's the challenge. In my life, I've learned this personally. In my life, in order to block some of this negativity and lies, I've had to take people and cut them out of my life. Now, sometimes we think, well, that's really not the Christian thing to do, Pastor Jason. Here's the thing, though. Jesus allowed people to walk away. You ever notice that? Read John chapter 6. And he even offers his core group of disciples to say, you want to leave too? Go for it. There's the door. I'm not deviating from what God has called me to do, what my Father in heaven has called me to do. Some of you were here this morning, and you need to make the intentional choice to start blocking out negativity and lies. And you need to figure out what that's going to look like. I encourage you to lean into that. Now, if it comes to a moment where you have to cut some people out of your life, yes, we want to do it in a loving way. We want to love like Jesus, amen, in hopes that they, too, come to faith in Jesus Christ. But if we're going to refuse to quit, if we're going to stay in this fight, first of all, to reach people for Jesus, but to reach this community in whatever way that this particular location wants to reach this community, we're going to have to block out some negativity and lies. Amen? You may be involved in a ministry right now that you're thinking, man, can I really keep this up? I want to encourage you to evaluate some of the voices that you're listening to. Are you letting negativity speak into your life? I'll give you one particular huge source of negativity that you may need to cut out of your life even right now. It's called social media. Okay? It was a few months ago where I decided, you know what, no more social media. Because I was tired of the negative stuff. You might be thinking, well, Pastor Jason, it's not really affecting me. I think it is. You just don't realize it. Amen? Amen? Let's just be honest here. The stuff that we're putting in front of our eyes matters. And if we're reading a bunch of garbage on social media, guess what? It's time for that thing to go. You don't have to do that. I just want to throw that out there. Maybe some of you need to challenge yourself for this remainder of this Seek Week, intentional focus time that we're in, and just say, you know what, I'm gonna cut it off at least for the remainder of this time. And maybe I'll go back to it, maybe I won't. Amen? Amen. Amen. All I'm saying is that the enemy will use whatever and whoever he can to get us off track, to get us to a point where we're thinking, why am I doing this? And once we start saying that, we're on that slippery slope to where we finally say, you know what, I'll just quit altogether. I'm not going to do this anymore, even though God has placed this on my plate to do. Remember, if we quit, we will miss the blessings God has for us. How do we refuse to quit? By putting some good habits in our lives. One of those habits, I believe, as evidenced in this passage, is to block out negativity and lies. Amen?
Amen.
Here's a second habit. We refuse to quit by remembering God's character. I love the song, Same God. I didn't even know you were going to play it today. Amen. So good job, team. Right? Love that song. Because it expresses how God never changes. He's the same God. His character never changes. But by saying remember, we need to think of it this way, more so of regularly and intentionally calling back to our memory. It's an intentional choice. And really, if you go into Psalm 11, you see where King David made this intentional choice. He appeals to God's character. He says in verse 7, "For the Lord is righteous." Okay, that's character. This is who God is. But in the main passage before us, Galatians 6, 7 through 9, we see where the Apostle Paul goes into this a little bit more in depth. He says, do not be deceived first, but then he says, God is not mocked. What's he getting at here? Essentially what he's saying is that God's character is such that it is impossible for him to get caught off guard. Why is that important for us to remember? It is impossible for him to not notice the intense efforts that you're putting in. For him to not see that, to not notice it, would be for him to compromise his character. But it goes deeper than this, because really what this passage is saying is that it's impossible for God to be treated with contempt and him not deal with it. So these people that are in our lives that are sometimes making fun of God, the Bible teaches that he will deal with that. He will take care of that. That's his character. For him to deviate from that would be for him to cease to be God. You see what's going on here? So we have to intentionally call back to our memory God's character. And to evidence this even further, the Apostle Paul goes on to explain that a person will reap what they sow. You know, we're heading into what for a lot of people is called harvest season. If you drive through Indiana, my neck of the woods at all, you'll see pretty soon, if not starting already, a bunch of farm equipment. You know, cornfields and all these things, harvesting their crops. But when did the sowing process begin? Back in the spring? March? Even prior to that, getting all the equipment ready, getting all the stuff ready. So I mentioned that because of what we're going to get into in a little bit. What we sow, we will reap, but not necessarily right away. Hold that thought. We'll get to it pretty soon. But this is how God operates. This is his character. For him not to do that would be against his being God. This cannot happen. That's what this is saying. I like what the New Living Translation says, as opposed to the English Standard Version, which is what I'm preaching on. It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always, someone say always,
always,
harvest what you plant. Some of you maybe need to write that down. You will always harvest what you plant. Now, this has application for sin in general. Sin always has consequences, by the way. Sometimes those consequences are not dealt out right away, but sin always has consequences. Let's just remember that, again, because we will reap what we sow. This passage even goes into that a little bit if you keep reading. But it has application for the things of God, too. If we are sowing the things of God, pressing in, not giving up, refusing to quit,
we will reap what we plant. Always. Because this is God's character. It's who he is. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and he will not do it? Or has he spoken and he will not fulfill it? God always keeps his promises. He has a perfect track record. Think about that. There is not one promise that God has made that he has not kept. Perfect track record. Now, sometimes I submit, that's hard for us to wrap our minds around because we've had people break promises to us. Some of us may have had a parent, father, mother, extended family member who promised us something, only to fall back on that promise. God will never do that. He can be trusted. And if you need any evidence of that, I encourage you to study the prophets of the Old Testament and look at their fulfillment in Jesus. Perfect track record, even down to the minute details. Amen. Someone say God has a perfect track record.
God has a perfect track record.
Let's remember his character. Amen. Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Never changes. I think we get the idea. Amen. So to put all this together, as we are going through this life, we will be tempted to quit in various ways. The enemy will just speak these lies or use other people. But if we remember God's character, meaning that we forcefully choose to put our mind on the truths of his character, we will be in a better position to continue staying in the fight that God has us in. And he will honor us for that. Because as the word of God teaches, we will always harvest what we plant. Remember, if we give up, if we quit, we'll miss the blessings God has for us. There's some habits we need to keep in place in our lives so that we don't do that. Another one of those, is remembering, calling to mind God's character, that he never changes. Third habit, we refuse to quit by trusting God's timing. And this is where it gets a little bit difficult. Let's just be honest. Because the challenge for us is that we often want to see the results of our hard work, our refusal to quit and give up, right away. For a lot of us, the right time is right now. Amen? Let's just be real. But verse 9, which is really my life verse, it says this. It says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Focus that phrase, in due season. In other words, the New Living Translation puts it this way, at just the right time. But who defines what just the right time is? Not us, right? Because here's another thing I've learned in my life. I don't know about you, but if God had given me 5 years ago what I was asking for 5 years ago, I would have ruined it because I wasn't ready for it. You know what I'm talking about? So sometimes we need to trust God's timing and just saying, God, you know the timing of this. You know when it's the right time, and I trust you with it. In our Spanish chapel at Hobart, we have a Spanish service that we started earlier this year. We have a sign that in Spanish says, the timing of the Lord is perfect. And every time I go in that chapel, I read it. I'm like, that's what I need to be reminded of. The timing of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. Not a moment too late, not a moment too early. Right on time. Now, I don't know why God sometimes takes his time. I wish I could tell you, yep, this is exactly why God is taking his time. I can't tell you that. But what I can tell you is that God knows exactly what he's doing. And why he's perhaps having you wait for
for whatever it is that you're waiting for the breakthrough on. He knows exactly what he's doing. And he knows when is the right time to bring that breakthrough into your life, whatever that is. A verse that has helped me to remember this in my life is the extended version of what perhaps many of us learned in Sunday school, way back when. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8. Let me just turn there. You might know the first two by heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Remember that? But don't skip. Don't leave out verses 7 through 8, because here's where it says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. You see, in this passage, verses 5 through 6 paint the picture of trusting in the Lord and his ways. Verses 7 through 8 paint the picture of trusting in ourselves and our ways. And let me just be real with you. Only one of those is a wise choice. You know what I'm talking about? You see, we can stay in the fight and refuse to quit because we know that God, in accordance with his character, will bring a harvest of blessing into our lives at just the right time. Just the right time. Amen. Remember, if we refuse to quit, we'll reap harvest. On the contrary, if we quit, we will miss the blessings God has for us. I don't want any of you to experience that. The question for us is, are we willing to do the things that will help us refuse to quit? Amen? Amen. So there we have it, three helpful habits to maintain in our lives, to stay in the fight and refuse to quit. Especially when the intense challenges of life arise. Sometimes out of nowhere, sometimes in planning, and especially where there appears to be no end or blessing in sight. I want to encourage you, stay in the fight. Refuse to quit. I'm going to invite the worship team to get ready. Come on forward at this time, but I told you earlier that I would explain to you why I chose the particular language that I did. You see, I could have just left it at refuse to quit. But I felt God speaking to me, no, this particular word needs to be used. Refusing to quit. See, here's another thing I've learned in my life. I have to make this choice often. Sometimes there are just challenges that come in and they're so overbearing. But I have to pre-decide. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not going to stop praying for this. I'm not going to stop going forward in whatever God has called me to do for that season. I'm not going to stop. For some of you, the challenge for you right now is to embrace this, what I hope is an encouraging word. What I hope is a word that perhaps for some relights the fire to keep at it. You see, Jesus said in Luke 9:23 that anyone who wants to follow him will have to pick up their cross daily. For some of us, that cross is the constant onslaught of challenges that we're facing in life. That God in his sovereignty has allowed in, but the enemy is trying to use to get us off track.
to encourage you. Take up your cross by refusing to quit every single day. Amen? Will you stand with me right now? The worship team is going to lead us in a song of response, and I want to use this time. We're going to open up this altar here in a minute. I want to ask you, if there are some here right now who, if you were honest, would say, you know, Pastor Jason, I've been fighting this battle for a long time. And if I'm honest, I've been on that slippery slope of getting to the point where I just say, you know what, I quit. My prayer for us this morning is that maybe this message is perhaps a moment of rekindling that fire within you and a recommitment on your part to say, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to stop praying for that prodigal. I'm not going to stop investing in this ministry that God has called me to invest either my time or my financial resources in. I'm not going to quit. But if we just admit, sometimes that's a very hard mindset to maintain. So what I want to do right now is I want to, do we have an elder team here? Any elders, leadership? Can you make yourself available up here too? If you need prayer here this morning, for maybe some of this is hitting you, and you're like, you know what, I need some prayer to stay in this fight. I need to give this over to the Lord. I need to recommit, to re-up. But for maybe some here this morning, the number one lie and negativity that the enemy has been speaking over your life is that Jesus would never love you. And through that negativity, through that lie, as it stands right now, you have yet to surrender your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because you're thinking like, I've done all this bad stuff. You might be thinking in your mind, Pastor Jason, if you knew everything I did, you wouldn't be saying, can I give you some good news? I don't need to know everything you did. Jesus Christ already did, and he died for you anyway. Amen? He loves you. And for some of you, perhaps the challenge today is to run into the arms of Jesus for the first time. That's you this morning. I want to challenge you. Take a step. Yes, you can do it perhaps in your seat, but I think there's something special about us saying, let's step forward to the altar. It's a bold step because it says, you know what? I'm not worried about what that person next to me thinks. I'm not worried about anything else other than me and Jesus. Amen? And when we do that, he gives us the power through the ministry of the Holy Spirit to keep going. Amen? You might be saying, Pastor Jason, how do I make things right with the Lord if I need to? We acknowledge that we are sinners who in no way can save ourselves. And with that knowledge, we repent of our sins and say, Lord Jesus, I've messed up. I've rubbed your name in the dirt. I believe that you died on the cross for me to pay the penalty for my sins, to renew me, to provide the way for me to be made right with my Father in heaven. And then we commit to him in full surrender of our lives. We give him everything, holding nothing back, saying, Lord, here's the keys to my life. I give them to you.
You're driving this thing now. You're in control now, and I trust you with it. I wonder if there are some who need to make that bold choice this morning. Let's say, I'm following Jesus from this day forward, August 17th, 2025. This could be your new spiritual birthday. Amen? So I'm going to pray, and the worship team is going to lead us in a song of response. If you need to come forward to this altar for prayer, or maybe to give your life to Jesus for the first time, let's do that today. Amen? Amen. Father God, we are so grateful for this time in your presence this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the encouragement from your word, God, to refuse to quit, to refuse to give up, Lord. And I pray for those who are here this morning, and that's what they needed to hear. Father, you're rekindling in them a new level of commitment, a new moments, Lord, in their life where they're saying, Lord Jesus, I'm all in. I was thinking about quitting because the lies are heavy. God, the challenges are many, but I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. And Father, I want to thank you that you didn't give up on us. You could have, but Lord, you chose not to. Help us to choose to not give up on you either. Trusting that in due season, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Help us to not quit, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Again, come forward. If you need prayer, you can do some business with the Lord. August 17, 2025, new commitments, new birth in Jesus Christ, a life that will never be the same. Amen? Can we give God some praise in his house? Amen.
Praise the Lord. I feel like what the Lord is telling me right now, and how many of you know when the Lord tells you something, you got to pay attention? I feel like there's someone in here who feels like Jesus has given up on them. I could be wrong. I don't know. Maybe I am. And if I am, we'll just close it out and go our ways. But if you're here this morning and you feel like Jesus has given up on you, I specifically want to pray for you right now. So if that's you, we're not going to extend this super long, but I'm just going to give a moment. If that's you this morning, I want to encourage you that Jesus loves you. I'll just keep playing softly and maybe do another chorus or something. If that's you. Okay.
You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. You're the way, the truth, and the light. You're the well that runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. I pass through death as I enter rest. I depend on you as I depend on you.
Amen. Isn't the Lord good? Yes. Amen. Amen. I want to close today by praying over this church. Amen. I'm at Melrose Park next weekend, so they're sending me back up to the north side. You know, they're like, you know what, let's make the Indiana guy go super far. But I just want to pray a blessing over you and that God will continue to use this congregation in Montclair to reach this community for Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Father God, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you for just the work that you've done here today. I feel like, God, there was at least in some people's lives, Lord, a shift. And Father, I want to pray that you would seal that. Father, that the enemy would not be able to come against, to try to negate in any way, Lord, what you've done here this morning. Father, I want to pray for this extended New Life family here, Lord, this Montclair location, this congregation here, Father. I pray that you would use each and every one of them to reach this community for Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that each person here would have the opportunity to lead someone to Jesus if they haven't already. Perhaps a family member, co-worker, longtime friend, a neighbor, whoever it is, Father, I pray that you would use them in a mighty way. Father, I pray that you would keep us safe as we go. And Father, bring people back this evening for the worship nights. I pray, Lord, that your presence would be felt the moment that they set foot on this property. And, Lord, that even through that, you would draw in those who need to know Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this time. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Well, you are dismissed. I'll see you on the foyer. Love to shake hands with you and greet you. So.